CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Libya. Libya is a catastrophe since the fighting that led to the death of the dictator and at the same time the country being torn into pieces by the various jihadist groups, ISIS not being the least of them, over these years. But now I learned from Ben Fishman, a senior fellow at the Washington Institute's program on Arab politics, is there is a moment for Libya to survive the crisis and move ahead. It comes after a meeting in Washington in these last days, towards the end of February, where the U.S., Britain, Egypt, France, Germany, Italy, Qatar, Turkey, and the UAE met to discuss what is to be done. Why this is significant is that, for the moment, Turkey and Egypt have been at odds in Libya. I know it's extraordinary, but we're dealing with the Mediterranean basin. They have been at odds, but because of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and because of the economic crisis in Egypt, they're momentarily distracted. What is to be done? Ben, a very good evening to you. What is to be done at this opening that won't last forever? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. It's a complicated story, and Libya is. I'll step back for 1 second to describe the latest UN effort. There was a civil war, as there have been three now in Libya, during 2020 and 2021. That effort stopped, and that basically stopped as a result of Turkey's intervention from on the side of the Tripoli-based government in the West. So Turkey has stayed in the West since that moment, and they pushed out Khalifa Haftar, the general in the East, and with his Russian support, which is now embedded in the Wagner Group, and has a presence in central Libya. It's important to emphasize it, and it's important for the U.S. to act on it. Now, the situation has basically been politically frozen, fortunately, since the end of 2021. Fortunately, the sides are not fighting. There's no major deaths in Libya right now. But as usual, the situation is tenuous. In addition to the meeting you referenced in the opening, the UN has now a new special envoy, a Senegalese politician named Batali. He has proposed a new plan to get the actors together to finish a roadmap for elections and with a goal of completing elections by the end of the year. And with the proper support by the United States and others, we're backing his plan and hope to see the elections transpire. But as you noted, Egypt and Turkey have a significant interest in Libya, much more so than we do because of their borders and proximity. So they play what has typically been a spoiling war role. I think that there's an opportunity now because of Turkey's disastrous earthquake, unfortunately, and Egypt's economic crisis. The two countries have had some initial context in a rapprochement, and they're pulling back a little bit from their hostility. This could be an advantage or opportunity for the U.S. to bring them together and hopefully to resolve their differences over Libya.
Malcolm, if the election takes place, what would be necessary to give it legitimacy in the eyes of the people? They have been so rent apart by this civil war, by the external wars, by all the factions that are at play. And will Russia want to see this kind of a resolution in Libya, where they have also invested a lot?
Malcolm, that's the $64,000 question. That led to the postponement of the initial elections that were supposed to take place in December 2021. How do you get the outside actors who like the status quo because they have various influences and various control of parts of the country to let Libyans vote for an uncertain outcome. That's why, for example, Egypt is so opposed to an election they can't control. Turkey is a little more flexible in this outcome, but Egypt in particular is the key to this allowing these elections to take place freely and fairly. The last comment I'll make on this is, there's been such polarization in the country. The candidate's selection is key. And if you imagine campaigning for a country, a candidate who literally attacked the other part of the country is going to have access to be able to campaign across the country. Very, very difficult questions to be left to this UN process. I'm a little more optimistic than I was a couple of weeks ago, but a lot of hard work is left to be done.
This is a month past, but it's extremely important to find out what's happening. On Saturday, February 1st, the Italian energy company Eni and the National Oil Corporation of Libya announced an investment of $8 billion to develop two Libyan gas fields. Why I bring this up is because Europe's searching for natural gas for not only this year, but next year and the year after. Who is in control of the Libyan natural gas fields? Is it part of the election run-up that somebody gets this money?
In terms of broader control of Libya's energy resources, that includes their oil revenue, about 1.2 million barrels a day production. That theoretically goes, all those revenues go into the central bank, and then the central bank just distributes it to various actors, and not just the government. And that's the major problem. Everything can be solved with a new legitimate government. How to get there is the problem. A new legitimate government can kick out the Russians, hopefully, and it can create a fair division of wealth from oil resources. The entire region, including Egypt, stands to gain from a stable Libya, including Tunisia, with its vast economic problems, because of Libya's enormous natural resources. The challenge is obviously how to get there.
Malcolm?
The question arises when we talk about the external parties. I remember reading that Hezbollah had sent fighters. Obviously, when they do it, it's usually at the behest of Iran. Is Iran playing a role in this? Can there be a spoiler? Do they have any interest in seeing a resolution at this time?
Iran is much less of an actor here. I've never seen any real evidence. The real key spoilers are obviously Russia with Wagner. Wagner uses Libya as a base for all its operations throughout Africa. It's a hub, a transportation hub, and that's their strategic interest. The other actors, as I mentioned, Egypt, Turkey, Europeans, as you noted earlier about the energy issues, they all have a strategic stake in Libya, and that's why the United States should pay attention.
The president of the United States was vice president during the initial invasion of Libya that led to the death of the dictator and this disorder ever since. Does the Biden administration evidence a special concern that this get resolved?
Well, the history will show that Joe Biden was opposed to the intervention against Gaddafi, just like he was opposed to pushing Mubarak out as quickly as President Obama did. His policy of in that period in 2011 is well known. I don't think that hangover has impacted his views of resolving the Libyan conflict. I think in general, the administration is supportive of elections. It's supportive of the UN plan. Whether they can do more, I've always argued yes. But this comes into the context of all these issues that they're focused on throughout the region, and the context of the Middle East's declining prioritization in American foreign policy, with the especially with the war in Ukraine dominating.
Ben Fishman, senior fellow at the Washington Institute, a member of the program on Arab politics, commenting on Libya. Continuing crisis. Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
What happened to her, Mario? How could she simply disappear after she was with you?
I don't have answers for that.
48 Hours at CBS News present.
I'm just going to ask you straight out. Did you kill Christy Wilson?
No, I had nothing to do with her disappearance.
Another season of My Life of Crime with Aaron Moriarty. Award-winning correspondent Aaron Moriarty brings you face-to-face with killers.
I will never say that I'm a cold-blooded killer. I'll never say I'm a murderer.
And the people they took from.
My son died running for his life.
This season, follow the evidence with Aaron, beyond the speculation, including in the death of boxing legend Arturo Gatti.
My gut says I don't think he would take his life.
I know my husband killed himself.
Listen to My Life of Crime from 48 Hours on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm David Pogue from CBS Sunday Morning. In the new season of my podcast, Unsung Science, you'll meet the discoverers of Ernest Shackleton's shipwreck, Endurance, lost beneath the Antarctic for 100 years.
It looked like the day when it sank. It's just a very good environment down there to conserve a shipwreck.
The woman who invented forensic genealogy and has solved over 150 cold cases.
It's controversial, right? Because you never know if sitting around your Thanksgiving table, there's somebody who's been getting away with murder or rape.
And the NASA engineers who flew a helicopter on Mars.
The density is 1% that of Earth's. 1% air density. It sounds impossible, and it is almost impossible.
It's season 2 of Unsung Science, presented by CBS Sunday Morning and Simon & Schuster. Listen to Unsung Science on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.